Okay, thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, it's Tuesday night, Revelation. Just two more classes in the book of Revelation, tonight and next Tuesday night, and that'll be it for Revelation. And got a little surprise for you next week, and so try to make it for the last study. So let's prepare ourselves for the study. First of all, let's talk about our prayer request. First of all, Sharon's not feeling well, so we need to be in prayer. We're glad to have Eve back, and that's wonderful. And we need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to be... I've got some interesting news for you and for the Internet prayer, Leslie. I forgot how many states Mexico is divided into. Yeah, how many states it's divided into. But the governor of the state where Grady ministers to the prisons is trying to get some laws passed that would stop Americans and offer. He's very anti-American, and he wants to stop Americans from going into the prisons, and so he's trying to get a law passed to do that. And Grady is at first was very upset and hurt about it, but he got to thinking, my goodness, I go with mom and dad into the villages, and they need help at where they are and teach, and so he's kind of prepared whatever happens. But he also has already stopped Amber and Jose from going into the hospital. Remember I told you how they were allowed to, she was allowed into any floor and all? Well, he put a stop to that. Not the hospital. He did. Yep. And so he put a stop to that. And so we need to be in prayer for Amber and Jose. They can minister outside, but not inside anymore. Yes. He wants to get more over here. He's very anti-American. No. And we don't understand that. And pass our laws appropriately. So we need to be in prayer for the entire Risley family and their entire ministry in Mexico and whatever God is doing. And like tomorrow night we're studying in John 16 how the disciples will lose the physical presence of Jesus Christ. And he says, it's to your advantage that I leave. And we're going to see how any loss in the Christian life, if you're walking in the Spirit and before God, it's a gain. And we're going to see that tomorrow night. But we'll just see what God is doing. But we need to be in prayer, fervent prayer for the Risleys, all of them. So please be in prayer for them. Any other prayer requests? Okay, and let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we now approach the closing of this great book and the words of Jesus Christ and John, pray that your Spirit will be with us tonight. We may see what you would have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, again, back in verse 20 now, where we left off last week. 20, we have, and he who testifies to these things says, yes. And before he said, behold, I'm coming quickly, behold, I'm coming quickly. And now he says, yes, I am coming quickly. And it's a declarative statement. Now, again, we do not know when the rapture is going to occur, taking the church age believers out of the earth, off of the earth. And we don't know the year, date, month, anything on that. Now, as far as his second advent, all we know is that it'll be the end of 7 years cut short. We don't know if that's a whole year short. We don't know what month, what day, what hour, anything like that of when Jesus Christ will return. But we know that there'll be 7 years after the rapture of the church. And then he will come, and he will come quickly. Okay, this caused in John the response to that. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then we took up come. It's a present imperative of exclamation, come. And then we took up the word Lord, and it's used through Revelation, and we looked at each one of those, and now we take a look at Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus is a transliteration of the Greek, which is a transliteration of the Hebrew, by the way, and means Savior. It's a Greek word for Savior. If we were translating it every time we saw it, we'd say Savior. But we now call it just say Jesus. Now, Jesus occurs more times in the first chapter of Revelation than any other chapter. So let's take a look at the references to Jesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, in verse 1, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by an angel to his bondservant John. He, Jesus Christ, as we know from Revelation 22, sent his angel to minister it to John. Verse 2 also has the name Jesus, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So this is the second occurrence. Now look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, comes off of verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and grace and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. And we saw in our reading in Psalm Sunday morning, reference to the firstborn, all these things dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Twice in that verse. So that's chapter 1. Now we have to move all the way over to chapter 12 for the next reference to just the name Jesus. But we saw the Lord was in here, but this is just, we're just looking at Jesus where it occurs in the book of Revelation, because it's a revealing of him, revelation of him. Chapter 12. Now very quickly, what's chapter 12 about? Contestants. Attestants, all right? So, look at verse, in chapter 12, and we want to look at verse 17. Chapter 12, verse 17. So, the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God, faith and love, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Okay, the next occurrence is in chapter 14. Anybody remember what chapter 14 is about? Nope. Chapter 14 is the fall of Babylon and Armageddon. Fall of Babylon and Armageddon. All right, chapter 14, let's look at verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God, faith and love, and their faith in Jesus. Okay, so that there it is there. Now, chapter 17 is the next reference just to the name Jesus. Chapter 17. Anybody remember what chapter 17 is about? In its broad flow. The destruction of Babylon. Destruction of Babylon. And this is in chapter 17. Let's look at verse 6. And I saw the woman, Babylon, drunk with the blood of the saints, murdering, killing of the saints, for studying a little bit on John 16 tomorrow night, and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, when I saw her, oh, wait a minute, am I reading 17:6? Well, well, well. Let me look at 16, see what 16 does. Nope. 14. Don't see Jesus there. 17:6. Chapter 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. There it is. He just stuck that in while I was gone, while I was looking at other places. Okay, the next one, chapter 19. Chapter 19, and 19 is primarily dealing with Second Advent. 19, Second Advent. And verse 10 is our word, and there it is. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. That's the John to the angel. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, twice in that verse. All right, then we come to chapter 20. Chapter 20 deals with Millennium and Great White Throne Judgment. And we went chapter 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the Word of God. And those who, and that primarily deals with the gospel. Word of God, often in the Bible, is a key for the word gospel. All right? But here we just say the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there we had Jesus there. Then chapter 22, not in 21, chapter 22. And chapter 22, it comes in three times. First of all, verse 16. It's the only time Jesus ever says this. I, Jesus. It's a powerful statement by Jesus Christ. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root of the descendant of David. So there we have the church and Israel, the bright and morning star, the light of the world. Then verse 20 and 21, repeated. Verse 20, he who testified these things says, yes, I am coming quickly, causing John to respond, come, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. So those are the occurrences of Jesus in Revelation. Now let's look at the phrase, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Only here in Revelation in verse 21. Only here in 21. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Verse 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. It's used 103 times in the New Testament, though. It is not used in Matthew. Only once in Mark. And only once in Luke. Where it is in reference to his glory. Let's just take over. We're not going to look at all 103. But let's just look at the one time in Mark, one time in Luke. Mark 16, please. Mark 16. Verse 19. Mark 16:19. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. The ascension and session of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Luke 24. Luke 24. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Luke 24, 2 and 3. Verse 2. And they found that this is the ladies that came to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. This is John and Peter, not the ladies. So we have studied that Jesus Christ is our Lord. God the Father is our Lord. And the Holy Spirit is said to be our Lord. Our Lord, the Holy Spirit, takes us to our Lord Jesus Christ, who takes us to our Lord God the Father. You don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. I'm not going to go through a long doctrine of Lord of Jesus Christ. But you don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. Now, as you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, as you grow in the knowledge of Scripture, you will more and more recognize Him as Lord of your life. You don't make Him Lord. Start recognizing Him as Lord as you walk in the Spirit and grow in the truth. It's a horrible false teaching called Lordship Salvation. It's a false gospel that has caused a great deal of trouble in seminaries, churches, between people. It's just caused a great deal of problem. The reason MacArthur came up with that heretical teaching is that he saw in his own church born-again believers sinning. I mean, really sinning. Some body sins. And it offended him. And he said, they can't be doing that. Not if they're really Christians, they can't be doing that. So he decided he would change the gospel with some grip on it. That to really be saved, you've got to make Him Lord of your life. And if He's Lord, you don't do those horrible sins. So he reacted to physical problems on earth and changed the gospel. And it has caused a great deal of trouble. And it didn't help. People still sinned. Or they had to let this church, as I understand. And being moral does not save people. Morality has just been a very overplayed card in the whole gospel. Morality does not save. In fact, morality really gets in the way because people who are very moral in their eyes, they're very moral, they don't need Jesus, just faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone. So morality has become a handicap in this respect. Religious people, believers and unbelievers, are moral. And they think, oh, well, they're all right with God because they're moral. Because they've got it all worked out. So, but religious people sin. Believers sin. Unbelievers sin. There's nothing that proves before man, people. There's nothing that proves before man that one is eternally saved or not. Only God knows. Only God knows. Now, there are indications if one is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's the real issue. A lot of people say, well, he doesn't act like he's saved. There's no action for the saved. There is action for those who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are actions that you will not do if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can say. If you did this horrible, this sin, be it horrible or not, and even if it's just anger driving down the road, you're not in the power of the Spirit. No one can say whether you're saved or not. Can say you're not in the power of the Spirit if you want to judge at all. But we know we shouldn't be judging at all anyway. So, but there's nothing to show whether a person is a believer or not. There are things to show whether a person is walking in the Spirit or not. The absence of spiritual love is a great indicator. In a marriage, in a church, at work, social life. The absence of spiritual love, I'm not in the Spirit. Nobody needs to tell me I'm not in the Spirit. I know. I know what spiritual love sounds like, so all I have to do is listen to what comes out of my mouth. I know what it looks like, so I have to just watch my actions. I know what it thinks like, too. So, the impact of spiritual love. The impact of spiritual love is that it's long-suffering. It's kind. It's not jealous. Does not boast, is not arrogant, and so on. So this is the only indication as to whether somebody's in the Spirit or not. Whether or not they're saved or not is not by any action. As you walk in the Holy Spirit, start growing in the Word, you start recognizing Jesus as Lord. You do not make Him Lord. He is Lord. You recognize Him as Lord, and you start living with that in view in your life. Compare the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, why is it one? Fruit, singular, but there are nine of them. The composite of all nine, we studied this, the composite of all nine is the image of Christ. It's the image of what Christ looks like. So you start acting like Him, loving like Him, and these kind of things. Okay, 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, before we leave this verse and go to the last verse in the Bible, Dr. H.L. Williamton, W-I-L-L-M-I-N-G-T-O-N, compiled the names of Jesus in Revelation alone. And I thought this was noteworthy. So let me give it to you. Just the names of Jesus as He's declared in the book of Revelation alone. One, Jesus Christ. 1:1. And other places, but we're just picking one. We're not going to list everywhere that these names are there. Two, faithful witness. 1:5. Three, first begotten of the dead. First begotten of the dead, 1:5. Four, prince of the kings of the earth. Prince of the kings of the earth, 1:5. Alpha and Omega, 1:8. Six, Son of Man, 1:13. You remember the Son of Man was one of Jesus Christ's favorite titles for Himself. Seven, first and the last, the first and the last, 1:17. Eight, Son of God, chapter 2:18. Son of Man, 1:13, Son of God, 2:18. Nine, keeper of the keys of hell and death. Keeper of the keys of hell and death. 1:18. 10, keeper of David's keys. Keeper of David's keys, 3:7. Eleven, one of my favorites, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, chapter 5, verse 5. 12, Root of David, chapter 5, verse 5, and in chapter 22. But chapter 5, verse 5, the Root of David. 13, very precious one, the Slain Lamb. The Slain Lamb, chapter 5, verse 6. 14, the Angry Lamb. The Angry Lamb, chapter 6, 16 and 17. 15, the tender lamb. He's the slain lamb, the angry lamb, the tender lamb. Chapter 7, verse 17. Our Lord. Chapter 11, verse 8. Man-child. Chapter 12, verse 5. 18. King of Saints. Chapter 15, verse 3. 19. Faithful and true. 19:11. Now, if you remember in chapter 22, he says the words are faithful and true. It's because he's faithful and true. Okay? All right. 19, faithful and true. Chapter 19, verse 11. Number 20, the Word of God. 19:13. King of Kings, 19:16. 22, Lord of Lords, 19:16. 23, Beginning and the End. 22:13. And 24, the Bright and Morning Star. 22:16. Now, in just my reading, I added a few. Number 25, and kind of draw a line, because I don't want to take anything away or any credit or anything from Dr. Williamson. Okay, 25, the Lord. 22:6. 26, the God. 22:6. 27, Lord Jesus. 22:20 and 21. So that just gives you a feel of meditating and thinking about Jesus Christ in Dale. Okay, closing of the canon of Scripture, verse 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. What a powerful way to close the canon of Scripture on grace. This is just remarkable. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. And then, amen, which we've already covered, means so be it. Okay, there are several things that John is doing in these closing words. First, once again, it is a closing call for all to believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe this is a closing call for all to believe in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by the grace. So when he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, I think he's calling them to salvation if you've not believed. This is how we're to live until he comes, by the grace of God and by the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace. Let me give you a little, I forgot what they call this. Somebody came up with it, but just give it to you. Grace means, you got G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I don't even know who came up with it, that way back in seminary days. Grace of Jesus Christ. People, it's the theme that just pulls all of this together. Just pulls all of this together. Let's look at Acts 15:11 a moment. Acts 15:11. Going to hear some powerful verses. Acts 15:11. But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that's why I think at the end when he says grace be with you, the grace of Jesus Christ be with you, that's what he's talking about, salvation. We believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are. Look down at verse 40. Acts 15:40. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. Being committed to the grace of the Lord, that's being committed to the gospel. Let's go to Galatians, one of my favorite books. Galatians 1:6. Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Him is God the Father, you recall, and he called by the grace of Christ. That grace of Christ is providing salvation. So, closing the Bible that way, I think it's his final call to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, come to his grace. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. So here's just the grace of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Very important verse in the Bible. All three members of the Godhead. 2 Corinthians 13. Let's look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So the grace of the Lord Jesus again, talking about our redemptive salvation. The love of God, it's a love that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit when we're walking with Him in His power. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit, it's a human spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Philemon. Ah! There's a one we haven't talked about. Philemon was written when a slave ran away from Philemon, and Paul took it upon himself to write him to treat the believing slave in spiritual love and compassion. But he says in Philemon 1:25, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. And then, of course, Revelation 22:21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Now, one more look at come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Let's take one more look at this. And I want you to go back and take a look at 1 Corinthians 16. Now, we read 16:23, but we didn't look at one just before it. I wanted you to look at verse 22 and then look at with verse 23. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to look at Come Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Now you see that word Maranatha? Okay, in verse 22. Let me show you something now about this word. Maranatha. This is a very interesting word. Okay, now, we've got an alpha in here. Okay, that's M-A-R-N long E, and then A-T-H long E. Maranatha. Now, these, believe it or not, this word it takes up three Aramaic words. Three Aramaic words. Mar, which means Lord. And then Anna, A-N-A, Anna means our. And then Tha, T-H-A sound, means come. And Maranatha means come, Lord, come. Or our Lord, come. Now, John did not use the Aramaic at the very end, but it's exactly what he said. Same thing. Our Lord come. This was a greeting. Maranatha was a greeting in the early church, revealing their eager anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know when it dropped out, but it was used at the very beginning. And we should have the same eagerness looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, look at the verse as it closed out Revelation. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So, actually we could have at the very end of the Bible, go back to Revelation 22:21. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. But what we were looking at was, amen, come Lord Jesus. That would be the same thing as Maranatha. And then he would say, Maranatha, come Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. And that concludes our study. Now, I have one more thing I want to do tonight, and then I have some surprises for you next week. What I want to do tonight is I want to give you what I've done is this little thing that we've gone through, and I'd ask you what each chapter was and all, and so you can pass these around, and what I've done is, for your notes, is just exactly that. It kind of gives you the outline of the whole book of Revelation. Since Sharon usually does come, why don't you take one for her? Okay. Did you get one for your mom? Okay. Well, okay. Go ahead and give that to Steve, and I'll get another some more. All right. Okay. That's good. We'll get Sharon. I'll make up for more of these. Well, didn't plan on as many. If you look, what I've done here is 1-5 before the tribulation. 6-19:5, the tribulation. 19:6-22:21, after the tribulation, which would be the second advent, millennial, the great white throne judgment, casting Satan in the lake of fire, great white throne judgment, and then the eternal state. And then, just a broad flow of it. Chapter 1, the glory of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 and 3, the church age. 4 and 5 in heaven, the throne of God. 6 through 18, tribulation or Daniel's 70th week. 19, the second advent. 20, the millennial and the last judgment. 21 through 22, 5, the eternity future, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. And then 22, 6 through 21, the closing of the canon of scripture. Then, I broke down more for your, just if you want to look through, chapter 1, Revelation, Jesus Christ, 2 and 3, the church, things which are, 4 and 5, in heaven, at the throne of God, things which shall take place, things which are, things which shall take place, chapter 5, the seven seal scroll, Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to take it. Chapter 6, the first six seals, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I got that in blue for you. Kind of a, that's something that people talk about. Chapter 7, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Many are killed in great worship. Chapters 8 and 9, the seventh seal broken and the trumpet judgments. Chapter 10, no more delays in judgments. Chapter 11, measuring of the temple, measuring of Israel and the two witnesses. Chapter 11, two contestants, Jesus Christ from Israel and the seven-headed dragon. Chapter 13, two beasts, the Antichrist from the sea and the false prophet from the land, statue of abomination and the mark of the beast. All in chapter 13. Chapter 14, three angelic messages, the gospel proclaimed, the fall of Babylon, and Armageddon. Yes. Well, the angels, there are more angels, but the three angels will proclaim the gospel, and then the others will proclaim the fall of Babylon and Armageddon. Yeah, so angelic messages. Three angelic messages, but more. All right, chapter 15, what will happen in heaven prior to the final bowl judgments? Chapter 16, the last seven plagues. Did I miss something? Okay. Hey, anybody can spell the same word the same way every time. It takes a little creativity. I got that from Patton in the movie Patton. They asked him, he said, hey, anybody can spell the word the same way every time. It takes creativity to spell it differently each time. Chapter 16, the last seven plagues. Chapter 17, the destruction of religious Babylon. Chapter 18, the destruction of political and economic Babylon. Chapter 19, the coming of Jesus Christ and the second advent. Chapter 20, the millennium and the great white throne judgment. 21, the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. 22, the closing of the canon of scripture. Now, just to be nice to you, you can change the spelling if you wish. But this is one that should fit in your Bibles. It doesn't have the top part, but it has the bottom part. The font size is a little smaller, so I could get it all on there. And it just gives you the same thing in case you want to put it somewhere at the very back of your Bible after chapter 22. You could put it in and be able to just give yourself a quick reference to the various books in the Bible. Okay? All right, now, next Tuesday night, last night, we've got a little... another little surprise for you. So we'll close now and then pick this up next week for the last lesson in the book of Revelation. For those that didn't think we'd make it, we'll make it next Tuesday night. So let's close in a word of prayer. What a fabulous book. What a tremendous closing. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. And until He comes, the church age, that those who have not believed believe in Jesus Christ. Come to the grace of Christ. Be under that grace. What an awesome God you are. An awesome Son. At the very end still, beckoning people to come home. Beckoning the unbeliever to come to you. Father, we thank you for this journey through this book. It's taken a long time, maybe too long, but we thank you for it. We thank you for all the things that we've studied, all the things that we've seen. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.